We want to thank you all for partnering with us in Trinidad and Tobago, and the team that came down to help beautify the community center and minister to the kids. You guys were awesome. I've been on a lot of missions trips, and I was honestly a little scared, if I'm going to be honest with you. Because a lot of times there's personality clashes, and usually you have to put out some fires. But you guys were in sync, unified, and working as one, so much so that the community came to me and said, "We thought you were a bunch of Venezuelans working here." You know, and I took that as a high compliment, because that meant we were working hard and we were unified and we were getting the job done. But it was awesome to have our home church, my home church, be the first missions team that we were able to host in Trinidad and Tobago. And we want to thank all of you for your support and all that you guys have been pouring in to Trinidad. I don't want to spend too much time, because I believe I have a word from the Lord talking about Trinidad, but we have been working there now. It will be going on, well, we just celebrated our 4th year anniversary as a church, and so we've in September we will have been there about 5 years. And so God has, it's a plowing. How many know about farming? Sometimes you have to farm some stuff in the spirit. You have to plow, you have to remove the rocks, remove the weeds, and plant the seeds. And we've been doing a lot of that, and we're starting to see the fruit of it. Amen? And even, I'm actually, believe it or not, this is a little plug. If you need help with your fitness, you can do it online. I'm a personal trainer too. But we are beginning to see. Because when I first got there and I started working out in the gym, I felt guilty. Anybody ever feel guilty before? And I said, "I'm spending so much time in the gym, God." I said, "I'm not working on the church or on ministry. I feel guilty." And God said, "That's your mission field." I said, "Explain that to me." Because sometimes you have to ask God questions. Amen? And I said, "Explain that to me." He said, "You don't have a per se job. You're brand new into this area. So how else are you going to reach people? Right? How else?" So as I started going to the gym, I started building relationships. God opened the door then for me to do some education and become a personal trainer. And then God opened the door for me to do what I gave up over 20 years ago. In 1997, God called me to be a youth pastor and a pastor. And I wanted to be a wrestling coach. And me and God fought for a long time over this. But I gave up. I said, "All right, God, I'll do it." Years later, in Trinidad, of all places, one of the guys in the gym was training for an MMA fight. And he said, I told him I used to wrestle, and he asked me, "Can you coach me in wrestling?" I said, "Sure. No problem." Then he opened up the door for an MMA gym where I'm coaching MMA fighters. Some have been, one has been on the UFC fight pass, fighting just under the UFC level. And he's opened up the door for me to minister through wrestling. Minister through teaching people fitness, and we're beginning to see the fruits of it, and they're starting to come to church. Anytime we have when we had our anniversary service, this is just the testimony, just sharing, because sometimes God will use you in the least likely places. What you gave up years ago, God brings it back around, right? And when we had our anniversary service, 90% of the people who came were from the gyms, or from the community center and from the gyms, 90% of the people who came. Only 10% were our people. So what's that telling you? That's telling you that sometimes you have to plant the seeds. Eventually the harvest will come, amen? All right, so that's just a little bit. Let's get into the Word of God today. Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you, God, for this opportunity to minister to your people, to your house. God, I pray today that you would speak through me, your servant. I'm nothing more than your servant boy. God, I ask that you would take control of my lips and my tongue, that my thoughts would be your thoughts. My words would be your words. God, I thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it pierces between joint and marrow, between spirit and soul. God, I pray today that as our spirit receives, that our soul would be transformed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How many of you know that usually in life there's only two choices? Right? We have good and evil. Right? We have Democrat, Republican. We have right and wrong. Left and right. Anywhere you look, you see most of the time you have two options. Where does this come from? Obviously, it comes from God because he created the earth. How many of you know that even back in April, right, every baseball team had to make what? Cuts. Every football team has to make cuts. Every basketball team has to make cuts. Even in our own lives, at times we have to make cuts. We always have to choose a side. All throughout our lives, we have to make choices. Every choice we make comes down to choosing a side. Many years ago, as I was a youth pastor, and there were some very serious allegations that were brought against the pastor of the church that I was pastoring at, I had to choose a side. What was I going to do? Which side was I going to be on? Was I going to be on the right side or the wrong side? Was I going to be on the side of good or the side of evil? No matter how sticky the situation is, no matter how difficult the choices are, we always have to choose a side. I had to make a choice of what I was going to do. I decided to call in those in authority in the denomination, which was the Assemblies of God, to call them in to investigate this pastor. The pastor didn't want to do what they had asked him to do, to clear his name. Ultimately, he stepped down. Well, they made him step down. Years later, I found out that there was a lot more going on with him while he was a pastor at that church. I chose a side that wasn't easy to choose. After that, another church where I was a youth pastor, there were things that I did not see eye to eye with the senior pastor. How many have you ever had that happen? Don't raise your hand. He's watching. But what I did was I would talk to him behind closed doors, and no one ever knew we had these conversations. People would complain to me and would say that I'm always on the pastor's side. I chose to support my pastor. I chose a different side. Years later, when I became a senior pastor, I realized that he was right. See, every time in our lives, we have to choose. We have to make choices that aren't always pretty. We have to make choices that aren't always easy. Even for us, when we decided to go to Trinidad and Tobago, our kids, my oldest was just starting college. She was in college. My kids, we pulled them out of the school, and we started homeschooling them and taking them online, and they were not happy about it, and they let us know because they finally felt like they were getting in their groove, and we moved away from the house that they grew up in, and it was not easy, but we had to choose a side. Are we going to do what God is telling us to do, or are we going to side with our kids and our family? There was even some people from this church, I won't call any names, And even the church that I pastored and left said, you're doing the wrong thing. This is not what you're supposed to do. This is not what God is saying. And I had to know in my heart, what is God saying? See, all of us, at some moment in our lives, we have to know what God is saying to us, and we have to choose a side. We have to be willing to stand and stand firm. Too many times, we don't. I'm getting older, so I have to take my reading glasses out. If we realize it is not our choice, if we realize it or not, our choices boil down to if we are choosing God's side or the enemy's side. Exodus 32, 19 through 29 says this. I'll give you a little background. This is after Israel has come out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. Moses has gone up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And they decide to go wild. They decide to have a Mardi Gras. They decide to have a carnival within the Lord's camp. And it says this. When they Moses heard it, he comes down from the mountain, and it says this. When they came near to the camp, Moses saw the calf and the dancing, and he burned with anger. He threw the stone tablets to the ground, smashing them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf they had made and burned it. Then he ground it into powder, threw it into the water, and forced the people to drink it. Some type of leader that is. Finally, he turned to Aaron and demanded, "What did these people do to you to make you bring such a terrible sin upon them?" "Don't get so upset, my lord," Aaron replied. "You yourself know how evil these people are. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will lead us.' We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses, who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So I told them, 'Whoever has gold jewelry, take it off.' When they brought it to me, I simply threw it into the fire, and out came this calf." Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get completely out of control, much to the amusement of their enemies. So he stood at the entrance of the camp and shouted, "All who are on the Lord's side, come here and join me." And all the Levites gathered around Moses. Moses told them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each of you, take your sword and go back and forth from one end of the camp to the other. Kill everyone, even your brothers, friends, and neighbors." The Levites obeyed Moses' command, and about 3,000 people died that day. Then Moses told the Levites, listen to this, "Today you have ordained yourself for the service of the Lord, for you obeyed him, though it meant killing your own sons, brother, and brothers. Today you have earned a blessing." Today you have earned a blessing. I want you to notice Aaron's response was to Moses. He said, "Don't get upset with me, my Lord," Aaron replied. "You yourself know how evil these people are. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will lead us.' We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So I told them, 'Whoever has gold jewelry, take off.' When they brought it to me, I simply threw it into the fire, and out came the calf." Aaron was persuaded by the people. He chose a side. He chose the side of the people. He chose not God's side. See, Aaron had a choice to choose a side, but he chose to please the people instead of pleasing God. There's another person after Aaron. His name was King Saul. And it says that he lost the kingdom because he wanted to please the people. He didn't obey God completely. He didn't obey what God was telling him completely. And he lost the kingdom. Not only did he lose the kingdom, but what happened was this. That an evil, tormenting spirit came on him because the anointed lifted, the presence of God lifted off of him. He was still anointed to be king, but the presence of God no longer was with him. Not only, see, here's the thing that many of us miss. That when we choose a side, we're not just affecting us. We're affecting the generations after us. Jonathan lost his rightful place as a king because his father chose to please the people instead of serve God. Many of our decisions, many things that are happening in your life is because of the choices your parents have made, your forefathers and grandmothers have made, and we don't recognize because of their choices, there's curses on our lives instead of blessings. See, the Levites earned a blessing, but if they didn't obey, everybody else received a curse. Are you following me? See, the problem is when we choose a side, we're either choosing blessing or cursing. Many of us are wondering, why is my life not going the way it's supposed to go? Why are all this stuff happening? Why is all hell breaking loose? Maybe you chose the wrong side at a moment. Maybe you made a decision. Maybe your grandfather or grandmother or mother or father or some great-grandparents made decisions that has been affecting the generations after you. See, they don't understand that every decision you make has a consequence. It's either blessings or cursings. This is a problem that many of us don't realize, that some of the decisions we've made, we've actually allowed cursings to come on our lives instead of blessings. Sometimes blessings at first feel like cursings. You ain't ready for this. Because sometimes to be blessed, you have to go backwards. Sometimes to be blessed, you have to plow the ground. You have to remove things. You have to allow God to cultivate you. You have to allow God to put you through the fire to purify you. Sometimes you have to allow the dross to burn off so the gold can come out. But many times when we go through that process, we're like, God, are you cursed? Am I cursed? Is something going on? Did I do something wrong? Did I choose the wrong path? Did I choose the wrong way? And God is saying, no, I'm just purifying you. I'm just putting you through the fire. See, even though we chose to go to Trinidad and Tobago, it has not been easy. Even though we chose God's direction and God's side, it has not been easy. Nobody knows the sacrifices. Nobody knows the spiritual warfare. Nobody understands some of the things that we have gone through, some of the things that we have seen, some of the things that we have experienced. But listen, I know on the other side there is a blessing. And sometimes God is just pulling the nonsense out. He basically said, the people made me do it. Anytime we are persuaded by the crowd, we are under manipulation. And manipulation is a form of witchcraft. We have to understand that when they were in Egypt, they were used to serving the idols of the Egyptians. They went back to the time when they were enslaved. Even after they seen all the miracles of God. See, here's the problem. Many times when we face hardship, it's easier for us to go backwards into our comfort zone instead of forward into what God is calling us. Many times it's easier for us to slip back into our old ways, our old thought process, our old mindsets, our old habits, instead of pressing forward into the things of God. In fact, Psalms, hold up, let me get this because it's not in my notes. Psalms 106:20 says this. And this is writing about what happened here. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. Let me say it this way. Anything you worship changes your image. We were created in what? God's image. That's why we were made to worship God. Because the more we worship God, the more we become like him. But anytime we begin to worship our job, we change the image of God and the image God has created us into another image. Anytime we begin to worship the image of money, the image of family, we begin to change our image. And what happened here was it was too easy for them to go back to what they knew, and their image began to change. Not into the image God wanted them to have, but into the image of something that eats grass and animal. Because they changed their image, they became like animals. You didn't follow. You didn't catch that. They begin to act like animals. It says that they started partying. They're out of control. What's out of control is most animals. They have no sense of right or wrong. They just do what they please. Are you following me? Because they worshiped something that was an animal, it changed who they were. Many times the problem with us is this, that we begin to put our job, our family, and other things above God, and we don't recognize that we're changing our image. We're choosing a side. We're choosing a side, and we're changing our image. This shows us that it is easier to go backwards than forwards. God has called us to move forward, not backwards. But many of us choose to go backwards because it is easier and more comfortable to us. Going forward and choosing a side is not easy. Number one, when you choose the Lord's side, you have to cut off everything that is not of him. Listen, think about this. Listen to this. Verse 26 and 27. So he stood at the entrance of the camp and he shouted, "All who are for the Lord's side, come here and join me." And all the Levites gathered around him. Moses told them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each of you, take your sword and go back and forth from one end of the camp to the other. Kill everyone, even your brother, friends, and neighbors." See, when we choose God's side, there is times that we have to begin to cut things off. There is a cutting point. You have to make the tough decision. When you choose God, there's things in your life that just have to cut. There's people in your life that have to cut. There's decisions that you have to make that you say, no longer, no more, it doesn't matter. I'm serving the Lord, so I'm cutting these people off. There was times in our lives that we had to cut family off because we understood they were pretending to serve God, but behind the scenes they were doing witchcraft. So we cut them off. We said, hold up, time out. Because you are doing all of this, no longer are we chilling with you. We ain't good no longer. We'll say hello, we'll say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, but you ain't coming to our house no longer. I ain't coming to visit you no longer because I know what you're doing. See, there comes a point where you have to say, for God I live and for God I die, no matter what comes, no matter who it is, I'm choosing his side. It doesn't matter if they like it, if they don't like it. It doesn't matter what they say about me. It doesn't matter what they put on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok about me. I don't care because I serve the Lord and the Lord will take care of me. If he is for me, who can be against me? See, the problem with us as believers today is we too weak. We are too weak. We don't know how to stand and take a cut. See, there's something about the Levites. They all of a sudden they came beside Moses and they said, "We're here." He said, "Take your sword." They said, "No problem." How many times do we see in the scripture that the Levites, even the son, later on, we see one of the sons of Aaron, it says that he, when the camp, there was sin going on in the camp, and the pagan women came, and with the man, he's seen it, and he burned with the anger of the Lord. He went in after them as they were having sex, and he speared them to the ground. See, sometimes we have to get, what's the right word? We have to get zeal, zest for the Lord. That when we see things, we burn with anger for God. See, there's something about the Levites. They said, we're staying and we're choosing God. This, all this we see here is nonsense. It's nonsense. I know we are New Testament believers, so let's go to the New Testament. Because, I think you're thinking, boy, he's too harsh, you know. So let's go to the New Testament. Matthew 10, 34 and 39, this is Jesus. Somebody say, this is Jesus speaking. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. Hold up. Jesus. You just said you didn't come to bring peace. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. He came to bring what? What did the Levites have? For I have come to set a man against his father. What? And a daughter against her mother. And a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemy will be those of his own household. Whoever loves his father or mother more than who? Is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, even Jesus said, I have not come to this world to bring peace, but a sword. The Christian walk requires a sword. You cannot be a Christian and not have a sword. We know the sword is what? The word of God. But many of us don't spend time wielding our sword. Many of us don't spend time practicing our sword. And because we don't spend time using our sword, we don't know how to cut stuff. We don't know how to stand and use the sword and cut things in our lives. And then we wonder why we don't have a blessing. We wonder why everything in our life is chaos, because we haven't made the proper cuts, because we don't know how to use the sword. Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Luke 14, 25 through 33 says this. Jesus again. Now great crowds accompanying him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, wait, he just added, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desires to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who come against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not all that he has cannot be my disciple. The biggest thing is this. We want a little Jesus and we want what we want to. We think that if we just come to church, maybe say, Ushatanama, that's all we need. But Jesus is saying something different. Jesus is saying we have to be willing to forsake everything. If you choose me, you have to be willing to forsake everything for me. We don't like to hear this. I'm not saying it. Jesus is saying it. The problem is this. We want to pick and choose what we want out of the Bible to follow. We want to pick and choose what feels good to us, what makes us happy. We want to follow Jesus the way we want to follow. Jesus said, no, you have to follow me the way I tell you to. It requires to cut. It requires to choose a side. Many times as a pastor, I got very frustrated because people who were serving would tell me, well, I can't come this Sunday because we have a family birthday party. You said what? You can't come for an hour and a half, 2 hours before noon because you have a what? Who are you choosing? Oh, I can't come to Bible study. I can't come to pray. I can't come to help out at the events because I have this and this and that and this and that. Yes, I understand we have to work, but sometimes there you have to make a decision. Who do you serve? What side are you choosing? I remember as a child, before I even started working, my father said this to me. He said, Obadiah, he said, you do not work on Sundays and you do not work on Wednesday evenings. That's when we have church. So any time you have employment, this is what you tell them. Every employment that I've had, that's what I've told them. And guess what? I didn't have to work on Sunday and I didn't have to work on Wednesday evenings. And if they told me I had to, I was finding another job. Because I decided to make a choice, to make a stand. Now, I know not all of us have that option, but there you have to know when God is saying enough is enough. You have to know when God is saying you have to cut this, you have to cut that, and you have to be obedient to choosing the Lord's side. When you choose the Lord's side, you ordain yourself and earn a blessing. How many of you want a blessing tonight, today? It says this in verse 29, then Moses told the Levites, today you have ordained yourself for the service of the Lord, for you obeyed him, even though it meant killing your own sons and brothers. Today you have earned a blessing. And the NIV verse 29 reads like this, then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you have been what? Set apart for the Lord. For you were against your own sons, brothers, and he has blessed you this day. The Hebrew word for ordain is male, M-A-L-E. It means to fill up, to be full, to be ordained, fulfilled, to be filled, become filled up, to fill up, satisfy, consecrate, to be set, to unite together, to fill the hands, means to ordain or consecrate for the service of the Lord. When we choose the Lord's side, no matter who it is, we actually consecrate ourselves to God and to his work. We set ourselves apart for God. When we choose God, we earn a blessing. Listen, every time you choose God, you ordain yourself. You consecrate yourself. You set yourself apart for God. The problem is many of us aren't ordained. Many of us aren't consecrated. Many of us aren't even set apart because we constantly choose another side. It might be something that is good, but it's not right. If we go back to the beginning of Genesis, what the snake said to Eve was good, was somewhat right. Some truth in it, but it wasn't right. The same strategy that the enemy uses against Eve, he uses today. He feeds us some truth, he feeds us some good, and he makes us believe that is right, but it's not. He packages it real good. He puts a bow on it. Well, you know, Pastor, I can't come because, you know, I got to go to my children's ball games. Pastor, I can't come because, you know, we have a family get together. We have all types of excuses why we can't do the things of God that look good, that to the natural sound good, but in the spiritual they're not. You ain't ready. Because the enemy knows that if he can make you comfortable in a way, he can send you back to your old patterns. If he can package it just the right way, you'll receive it. You'll take the bait and you'll go back to the... Listen, if you listen to what the people said to Aaron, they said, we don't know where Moses is gone. Moses was gone for 40 days and 40 nights. What they were saying is true. They didn't know what happened to Moses. They said, we need something. We need someone to lead us. So make us an idol. Make us a god. It sounded good for a moment, but it was covered with a bunch of nonsense. See, the problem is the enemy will package things that look good, sound good. How many of you ever... You ever hear that saying, good from far, far from good? Right? I mean, you ever met somebody and maybe you're younger, you're a teenager, like Christian and Micah's age, right? And you see this pretty girl, you're like, whoo, she's pretty. Let me go talk to her, right? And you get up closer, oh, she doesn't look as good as what she first looked, but, you know. Let me talk to her anyway. She opens her mouth and begins to talk. You're like, what in the world is this? Or maybe some of your ladies have experienced the same thing, right? You're like, woo, he looks real handsome, right? You come and look, he begins to open his mouth and you know he's dumber than a box of rocks. It's packaged the right way. It looks good, but it's not good. The enemy knows how to package things the right way to make you want to go after it, but it's not good. When we choose the Lord's side over the things that just look good, see, sometimes God's things don't look good. What do you mean? Because they're the hard way. God, have you ever noticed that there's nothing free? The only thing free in the spirit was salvation, but it was also paid for. So if we really think about it, nothing is free. Listen to what he said. He says, you have earned a blessing. How did they earn a blessing? By choosing God's side. They earned a blessing by doing the hard thing, killing their brothers, killing their friends, killing their neighbors, killing anybody who was out of sorts. They had to do something difficult. They had to do something hard. They had to take a stand that didn't make sense. It wasn't the thing that you would think God would tell you to do. Go kill your brother. Go kill your friends. Go kill your neighbor. What? They had to take a stand, but because they took a stand, because they did the hard thing, they earned a blessing. Many of us are not blessed because we're not willing to do the hard things God is requiring us to do. Many of us can't earn what God is. Many of us can't earn what God wants to give us because we're not willing to do the hard things. We're not willing to make the cuts. God is a God of blessing and cursing. You know, curses don't come from the devil. Curses don't come from... He did not create curses. God is the creator of all things. The first time you see a curse in the Bible is from who? God. All the devil does is manipulate the legal system of the spiritual realm. Understand this, that too many times we do not want to do the hard things to earn the blessing.
We want to say we're set apart for God, but we're really not, because we're not willing to cut things. We're not willing to take a stand. Today, God is calling us to take a stand. He is calling us to be willing to do the hard things. He is calling us to cut the things that we need to cut. Why? So that we can earn the blessings that God has stored up for us, waiting for us, waiting to give us. But he's waiting for us to make the cuts. He's waiting for us to choose him constantly, not just one day of the week, not just one minute, not just one hour. He's not just waiting for one moment for us to choose him. He's wanting us to choose him every day, every second, every minute, every hour, every year, every decade, every century. He's wanting us to choose him all the time, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what it looks like, no matter how hard it is. He's saying, choose me. And when you choose him, you actually set yourself apart. You ordain yourself for the work of God. You ordain yourself for the things that God has established for you. You ordain yourself for your purpose. You ordain yourself for your destiny that God created you for, even before the world began. And you earn a blessing with it. Many of us aren't blessed because we are not walking in our purpose and our destiny. We have not chose God completely and fully. We have not set ourselves apart for him. So our blessings are just waiting until we choose him. James 1, 22 and 25 says this, but be doers of the word. Know how to use your sword. And not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres in what? Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. He will be blessed in doing. Your blessing comes from doing the word of God. Your blessing is not just by sitting here on a Sunday morning or on a Tuesday night. Your blessing comes from doing what you hear, doing what God has called you to do, making the cuts. That's where your blessing comes from, is being a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Anybody can hear the word. It's when you choose to do the word that God pours out a blessing upon you. Revelations 22 and 14 says, blessed are those who do his commands, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Blessed are those who do his word. The toughest thing to do sometimes is what God tells you to do. Following God's word, following God's command is not an easy thing. But he always blesses you. I remember about a few months ago, I was driving home from wrestling practice, training the guys, and I was driving up this hill to our house, and I remember just started laughing. I just started laughing to myself. I just started laughing. Because I didn't realize in 1997, when I choose to serve God, when I choose to be a youth pastor and a pastor, when I did not want to do that, and to this day I still don't want to do it, when I chose to give up what I wanted, my desires, my passion, the things that I thought that would bring fulfillment into my life, when I chose to give that up and follow Christ, no matter the cost, no matter what it was, that he would bring it back. In 2024, I just started laughing. Because I was like, God, you asked me to sacrifice. You asked me to give up what I actually would find my identity in, what I thought was my life, what I thought what I was meant to do. You asked me to give it up for you, but then in the weirdest place in the world, in a small Caribbean island, he gave it back to me. Sometimes the things that you sacrifice, God is waiting for the right moment to give it back to you. He's waiting for the right moment to say, you know what? Well done, my good and faithful servant. You can handle it now. Take it. We don't realize that when we choose God, how much we are actually being blessed. It is time to choose what side you're going to be on. Are you going to be on God's side or not? It is time to serve the Lord with everything you have within you, no matter the cost. It is time to make the cuts that are necessary in your life to serve God and to be consecrated, to consecrate yourself unto the Lord. And when will you begin to do that? I'm telling you, the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord. Every time I've chosen God, every time when people told me I was crazy, and every time it looked like I was going backwards, every time, God always blessed me 100-fold. I remember I was a youth pastor. I'm closing with this. So if the worship team wants to come. I was a youth pastor, and I was pastoring one of the bigger youth groups in New Jersey. I was probably the highest paid youth pastor in New Jersey, in the Assemblies of God, right? And I remember when God called me to leave the church and leave youth pastoring and to go plant a church and to go to New York City to plant a church. Everybody around me said, you're crazy. Why? It must be the pastor's fault. That's what they said. Why? Why are you, like, it doesn't make sense. Why are you giving all this up? And literally, I gave up. I took a $30,000 pay cut to go live in New York City where we were way below the poverty level in New York City. God told me to. God told me to. I have no other answer, but God told me to. And if this is what God is saying, and it doesn't make no sense. It made no sense in the natural. But all I knew was God was telling me, go. We went. A year later, same New Jersey district office called me and said, hey, we have a church. And we want, it's a church, a small church. It needs revitalization. There's only about 10, 15 people, and we want you to come and pastor the church. I said, nah, I'm here. I just told them no. And they kept calling me. I talked to the pastor that I was under at the time, and he said, open door is an open door. Check it out. I checked it out. And I remember the first time I went there, if I wasn't speaking, I would have left. And that's just the honest truth. After every song, I was sitting in the front row, and they blew this shofar's horn so loud that I jumped so high, I just about jumped out the building. It scared the daylights out of me. And honestly, if I wasn't there to speak, I would have left. They can't pay me to have any opportunity. Somehow, some way, they chose me eventually to be their pastor. And I started working with Silas. And God blessed us more than what we were blessed before. Way more. So much more that we could go backwards again. Give up everything to go to Trinidad because that's what God told us to do. But here's the thing. I understand that when I'm obedient to God, God will always bless me more than I was blessed before. See, when you're obedient to God, no matter what you have to cut, no matter what you have to give up, no matter if it's leaving your kids in another country, sending them back to another country, leaving your family, leaving everything that you know, and going to a new country to serve God, God will always bless you more, no matter what you have to cut and give up. Today, each of us have a choice to make. Every day we have to make this choice. Every second, every hour. Is it to choose what God wants us to do, or to choose what will please others? To choose what will please ourselves? And ultimately, when we're pleasing ourselves, when we're pleasing others, we're pleasing the enemy. We're not choosing God. And we're giving up the blessings of God that he has for us. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. Amen. It's time for us to constantly choose God, to make those tough decisions, to make some of those tough cuts and say, for God I live and for God I die. Years ago when we were pastoring in New Jersey, we had a situation with some of the people, and they brought some things to the board. And I said, listen, this is what you choose. Here's my resignation letter right now, because God's not speaking it to me, so I'll resign. This is your choice. Because nobody's going to control me but God. And so when we see, sometimes you just have to take those stands. You have to make a decision. And God blesses it. All those people left eventually, and God brought in people who are on fire for God, who are constantly in prayer, constantly at service and Bible study, and the Spirit of God moved. We've seen miracles, signs, and wonders. We've seen people set free and delivered. Why? Because we took a stand for God. If you want miracles to happen, you have to take a stand. You want blessing. You want God to set you free. You have to take a stand, because you set yourself apart for God. We all have decisions to make. Today, as we all stand, maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life. That's the first step for choosing God's side, is asking Jesus into your life. Maybe you're here and you've never asked Jesus into your life, but you want to do that today. You want to say, Jesus, I need you. I choose you. I want you to be Lord and Savior. I want you to be the one in absolute control. I want you to be master. I want to be blessed because I chose you. If that's you today, I want you to just raise your hand where you're at. Anybody here today that needs to give their lives to Jesus? Then I believe all of us are believers. Maybe you're here today and you realize there's some things that you need to cut. You realize some things are off. Some things that need to be shifted. The blessings aren't flowing. Maybe you've been siding too much with family, siding too much with other people, and you say, today I need to take a stand. This is what God is telling me to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand for God. If that's you today, I want you to come to the front. We're just going to pray over you. We're just going to pray over you today. Listen, it's not an easy thing to take a stand for God. It's not an easy thing. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, God. Come on, if you can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Let's begin to shift the atmosphere. There's somebody, I believe, here today who has your neck, your left side of your neck is stiff, and it goes down into your upper shoulder. And it started when some stress started happening. You started getting stressed, and all of a sudden you felt this go through your neck, down into your shoulder, and it's stiff. If that's you today, I want you to come to the front, because I believe God is going to heal you.